Quasi-Cerebral Talk and Tunes. This is Typically Tuesdays on CJSF 90.1 FM. Here's what we've got cooking up this hour.
You are tuned in to Typically Tuesdays on CJSF 90.1 FM. We're the campus community radio station broadcasting from Burnaby Mountain at Simon Fraser University, where we broadcast on unceded stolen lands of the Musqueam, Squamish, Tsleil-Waututh, and Kwikwetlem First Nations. This episode of Typically Tuesdays was produced on unceded stolen lands of the Keetse, Kwikwetlem, and Stola First Nations. And here at Typically Tuesdays, we recognize the host nations as being the original storytellers and knowledge keepers of this place, and we thank them for their stewardship. My name is Leslie. Witch Hat Atelier, it is time. It is time that I talk about WHA. It is time that I talk about Woke Hat Atelier. If you are not familiar with this story and property, it is... Ooh, it just got like a huge uptick in popularity because the recently released anime adaptation of the original manga series by the author Kamome Shirahama was sort of the anime of spring. It became like the anime of the season. And it is very, very good. But because now more people know about it, I feel like now I have an opportunity to talk about it in various iterations throughout the show in the coming months, perhaps even years, because the story is one that, listen, I'm not trying to be that girl, but I kind of am. You know, I like kind of knew about it before it got popular. Sorry. I started reading Witch Hat Atelier, the comic series, several years ago, just right before more people started recommending it. Like, when it was only like a few people who were like, hey, this is really underrated, check it out. I started to read it. And then one or two years later, everybody was like, you should read Witch Hat Atelier. So, yeah. I was kind of that girl, you know? So it means that I have had quite a long time interacting with this series, and I really, really enjoy it. But there are a lot of interesting points of discussion for this particular property that, like, stew in my brain often. Not often. More often now, because the anime came out, but a lot of very interesting things that stew in my brain, much to the chagrin of friends and now you, listener, now you. So this is part one of my sporadic series of discussions around Witch Hat Atelier, I guess, and today we're focusing on misogyny. We're focusing on how people hate little girls. We're focusing on one character who is one of my favorites and how the fandom treats her like she is a big old dum-dum because of misogyny. Keeping it kind of vague here on the program right now, but you will know and you will soon see why I do not like people who do not like Tetya. Or more accurately, why side-eye people who think Tetya is just a fool. What do these words mean? You'll find out after today's music break. So because of the theme of discussion for today's show, Witch Hat Atelier, and because magic is so centrally themed in this story, that's going to be one of the themes of today's playlist. The other theme is pink. Songs that make me think of the color pink, because our character that we are discussing today, Tetya, her concept color is pink. Her theme color is pink. Important to note. We're going to start off today's music then with, it is really like a mixed bag in terms of vibes, so get into it. This is Magic of Love by Perfume, the Level 3 remix.
When a northern saw-whet owl spreads its wings, many birds can see something our human eyes can't. The owl's flight feathers glow. It's invisible to humans without the help of an ultraviolet blacklight, which reveals a bright magenta color. Producing this otherworldly light is a trait called photoluminescence. While some bird feathers simply reflect UV light, photoluminescence involves special pigments or structures in the feathers that absorb UV and then release light of their own, often in a different color. Some cases of luminous feathers have an apparent purpose, For example, parakeets called budgerigars have glowing feathers on their crowns and cheeks that may help them stand out to mates. Over 50 species of parrots, as well as some toucans, have similar gleaming ornaments. But for other birds, such as owls, we still don't have a good idea for the reason behind the glow. The luminous owl wings do have a specific use for biologists, though. Scientists realized that they could estimate an owl's age based on the pattern of luminescent color on the wings, which changes predictably as birds grow and replace their feathers. It's a practical application of a beautiful mystery. For BirdNote, I'm Ariana Rimmel. BirdNote is grateful to the many contributions of Dr. Gordon Oriens and for his ongoing support of the show.
Gusto always wonder what I have given. Must have been looking for something. I even put my faith in that religion. But then I grew up. Realized you shaped the way I forgave you. I wasn't trying to make sense of it. And I knew it wasn't your fault. In the moment I let you know, I knew this must be some type of magic, yeah. Such bad decisions. But then I remember the only way I could break this thing was to listen to me. I know it's been a long ass time. I wonder if he knows I miss him.
On my mind,
trying to figure out just what he's thinking.
On my life,
it's even harder to understand. But the moment I'm in my dead, must be some type of magic, baby. Ooh, yes it is.
Whoa.
Must be some type of magic, baby.
Aquaculture with magic. Here on Typically Tuesdays on CJSF 90.1 FM. Hope you're enjoying this playlist so far. Hope you're enjoying this track as well. Before that, you heard Beanie with Lagi here on the program. Going for a magic and pink themed playlist. But what we're going to get into today is about Witch Hat Atelier. We're going to talk specifically about the character Tetya. Because the way that the fandom treats her like she's just some big old dum-dum. I get PO'd thinking about it. Witch Hat Atelier is a Japanese comic series written and illustrated by the author Kamome Shirahama. Witch Hat Atelier focuses on a girl named Coco who lives in a society wherein which magic exists. But very specifically, magic is the tool of those who are privileged in a particular way. She is not one of those people at the start of the story. She is what society would consider an outsider, quote unquote. Those who are within the privy of magic are called witches. And everybody is taught throughout the society that only witches can cast magic because they have been given the gift of magic. Coco loves magic as it can aid people in relieving, you know, like everyday kind of inconveniences. And it also has the power to just make your life like feel more wonderful and whimsical and joyful. But as an outsider, she laments the fact that she cannot cast it until she secretly discovers the truth of magic, which is that it is not just a gift to witches. One learns to cast magic by practicing drawing. And she tries to do this on her own. She accidentally casts, like without knowing, she casts forbidden magic and she turns her mother into stone. By the way, spoilers for Witch Hat Atelier. Just spoilers, I guess. And she is discovered by the witch Kifri. Normally, in the conventions of the society, any outsider who discovers the secret of magic, that it can be casted really by anybody who just learns how to draw, they have to get their memories wiped. But Coco is, you know, a very young girl, and she deeply regrets accidentally casting forbidden magic. And she asks for Kifri's help. He decides to hold on to her secret and kind of adopt her into his school, his study. And Coco befriends the rest of Kifri's students, Agot, Richa, and Tetya. And the four of them kind of become this quartet who learn magic, overcome challenges through it, and try to find ways to solve life's issues using creative ways of thinking. And it sounds like it could be like a Harry Potter because it's about young people who learn magic. But let me tell you, Harry Potter's got nothing on Woke Hat Atelier. Every one of Kifri's students, as we understand so far, is a little bit of an outcast in some particular way within the realms of the magic world. Importantly for our conversation, I really need to highlight kind of the character design and personalities of the students, and I'm going to try to rattle them off as quickly as possible because I gotta get to a point. So our main character, Coco, keywords are curious, clever, enthusiastic, and she wears her hair in like this like lob, side part lob, and she has a mossy green color palette. Second character, Agot, keywords. Let's do it that way. Yeah, let's talk about keywords. Keywords: determined, very serious, moody, hates Coco when we first meet her. A little bit of an emo kid, in my opinion, not gonna lie. And has repressed a lot of joy and wonder in her life. Also, her character design, a deep night purple. And her hair is like curly, like short curly hair, big short curly hair, bangs, like always getting into her eyes. She has a little bit of a moody, serious, studious look. Richa. How to describe Richa? Taciturn, quiet, a little bit aloof, but not without some excitement for life. Untrusting of adults, a little bit difficult to build relationships with, but opens up eventually. Richa has long, straight sky blue hair and then like micro bangs, baby bangs. Then finally, Tetya, our main character of focus for this episode. Whimsical, joyful, bubbly, caring, happy, positive, silly, and has long, curly pink hair that she wears in two pigtails. Sometimes, as we'll discover later on in the story, when she's putting on her thinking cap, she will physically do that by putting her hair into like braids, which is so interesting, but very whimsical of her. And, you know, unfortunately, often dismissed throughout the fandom. Each of the other girls, Coco, Agut, and Richa, they all have kind of like a traumatic backstory as to why they joined Kifri's school. And it adds a lot to their character. So far, even in the comic series, which is telling the story way far ahead at this point, we don't really know why Tetya became Kifri's student. And because all of the other girls under Kifri's wing have this traumatic story to their character, a lot of people assume that Tetya should have one, or does not have one yet. And they are confused. They think that Tetya should not be taken as seriously as a character sometimes, because she does not have that. Because Tetya is just like kind of happy and happy to be studying magic, happy to be with her best friends, happy to be in this kind of like chosen family unit with the other students, Kifri and Ulrugio, who is a character for discussion of another time. And I do understand, I think, the tendency to feel that way, because all of the other characters have a very intense story. But I can't help but to also notice just the ways in which some people in the fandom, they don't appreciate Tetya as much as a character. And also because she is outwardly the most feminine character. She's the most feminine coded of all of the students in Kifri's school. You know, when you look at her, she's pink. She's pink. And, you know, do I have to explain math to you? Like, our society equates pink with, you know, young girlishness and femininity. And because she has a joyful, bubbly personality and a silly personality, I think a lot of times people just assume that she's just like a silly little girl, you know? And she's not, she's there in the story. She's not as important as the other students because she does not have this, you know, the slight edge or darkness to her. And in honesty, it just makes me kind of sad. And I'm not trying to project here, right? Like, you know, it might not be like just misogyny and biases against girly pink things, characters, etc., throughout the fandom. But I can't help but to notice, right? It's incredibly rare for me to see people make cool fan art about Tetsuya. And I love looking at fan art. I'm like all over that, you know, on the internet and like at markets and like cons and stuff like that. It's very, very rare for me to see that type of respect for her. And it's not classic cool that I'm asking for, right? I'm asking for like the type of cool fan art that shows that the person who created this piece of work has some respect for this character. I see a lot of that for Coco. I see a lot of that for Agut. Some for Richa as well. But basically none for Tetsuya. And every piece of fan art that I've ever seen of Tetsuya always depicts her as like being sort of like the silly clown butt of the joke. And yes, she is a fictional character, whatever, this isn't all that important. But I am curious about it, right? Because when I read Wuchat Atelier, you know, I am a little bit biased because I do enjoy Tetsuya as a character. She is like my second favorite child in the entire story. So when I read Wuchat Atelier, I really see the purpose that Tetsuya serves in the story. And that is that she is Coco's very first ally. Wuchat Atelier, guess what? Is Coco's story. I'm going to talk a little bit more about that after this music break. We are going to listen to some VanCon with Shui and Sachi. This is Free Time.
Is Bird Note. When taking public transportation, you might read a book or listen to a podcast. But what if you used your commute to do a little birding? On the way to the bus or train stop, you might see a common grackle hopping along the curb. or hear a house finch belting it out from a street tree. If the light rail goes over a river or passes by the shore, keep an eye out for gulls, herons, and birds that go diving for fish. And on the ride, you can also take comfort in knowing that you're helping birds by using public transportation and avoiding a potential car trip. By carrying more people in a single vehicle, mass transit can use less energy than cars. Taking steps to reduce greenhouse gas emissions can help the hundreds of bird species put at risk by climate change. Not to mention, while driving a car, you can't just relax and tune in to the birds all around you. For Bird Note, I'm Ariana Remmel. This episode is dedicated to Kit Ellis of Gig Harbor, Washington, with thanks for her generous support of Bird Note.
Twilight, Twilight by Peaky. Here on Typically Tuesdays on CJSF 90.1 FM. My name is Leslie. If you're just joining me on this hour, I'm talking about why people hate this little girl in this one comic series that I really like. I'm laying it on kind of thick, to be honest, but you know, I have questions. Like, why do people not take Tetya from Witch Hat Atelier as seriously as they take any of the other young female characters. I think that part of the reason is because of misogyny, because she is bubbly and cute and whimsical and positive and happy, and also she has like her theme color, her concept character concept color is pink, and she like wears pigtails. But I think there are within that, you know, entangled in that, there's another issue, which is that a lot of people have not maybe read or understood the purpose of Tatia's character within Witch Hat Atelier. And so they let the biases maybe against that they might have on feminine young girls cloud their judgment of her character. As I talked about earlier, all of the other students in Kifri's school, they have like a sad story, flesh them out as characters that kind of help. And I feel that, yeah, I mean, like in storytelling, you know, a lot of the times, in order to make a character seem a little bit more complicated, you can do that. You can give them like a lot of grief and some kind of like traumatic backstory to make them seem more human. And that is a part of Tetia's character that we don't see yet. In the manga, which is like, you know, 90 something chapters on, you know, and is telling the story way, way, way ahead than the anime, we still don't know why Tetia, became Kifri's student. And we, as the reader, might feel as though each one of his students technically has some kind of, like, traumatic backstory because of the life stories of all the other students, and also because actually Kifri himself is a little bit of an outcast in the magical world. But I want to argue really quickly that, listen, I want to make the point that, one, not every single character needs to have that in order to seem like a grounded and real and interesting character. Because sometimes a character might be interesting because they have strong values. A character might be interesting because they have their own kind of like internal, you know, experiences, their own kind of internal world that has been fleshed out really well. And I think that is sort of what Tetia has. Tetia has a very strong set of values when we read more of her story in Witch Hat Atelier. And she also has a very strong sense of purpose. This is not to say the other characters don't have something similar. They do. But it's that Tetia already has those things as well. Which brings me to my next note, which is that I question oftentimes why we can only take certain characters or certain people, even in real life, seriously only if they have like a sad story, particularly with regards to Tetya, you know, this young feminine fictional character. I would encourage anybody who enjoys Witch Hat Atelier to think about that, right? Can I appreciate her as the character that she is without needing to know what keeps her up at night, without needing to know whether or not she has seen horror and terror, whether or not there is some darkness in her heart? Can I take her seriously as just the character that she is as she exists? Because Witch Hat Atelier is not a poorly written story. Each character, each of the main six characters have their own inner world. It's just that right now we don't see that there is a whole lot of darkness in Tetya's world. I think that's okay. She serves a greater purpose than that. Something that I've already alluded to is that this story is Coco's story, right? So this is all about Coco and her experiences. When she first enters the world of magic, her only ally is Khifri. Like, she doesn't know anybody else in the magic society. And he's the only character that can give her, like, this real sense of hope that things could be different for her and that she can make a change to reverse the spell on her mom. But her classmates don't really take to her that fondly, that easily, right? Agat hates Coco in the beginning of her time at the atelier, and even, you know, kind of, you know, bullies her in a way into doing something quite dangerous because Coco's naive. She takes advantage of her, right? Richa is sort of in her own little world. As a part of her own character arc, we understand that it's, you know, it's she's quiet, and she exists sort of in her own realm to protect herself from developing relationships with people because of a trauma that she experienced in her past. So that really, it leaves Tetya. And the great purpose that Tetya serves in the story is that she is Coco's very first peer who helps her out. She becomes Coco's very first friend and ally in the magic world. She embraces Coco without any questions. She helps her the very first moment that she meets her. And I think that that kindness shows what type of character Tetya is, what types of values she has, and how important she is to this collective of, like, young students, and also to the story. She is Coco's biggest supporter, aside from Khifri. She is the one who encourages Coco to keep learning, to keep practicing. She's also the one who really truly cares for Coco beyond just becoming a great witch. She cares for Coco's health. She tells her, you shouldn't be pushing yourself too hard. Like, you need to take care of yourself in order to become a good witch, in order to study, but most importantly, to, like, live a good life. She is the character that grounds all of the rest of the characters at Khifri's atelier in a sense of joy, of hope, of wonder. Because everybody else has, like, their own sort of darkness, kind of, that could overtake the whole vibe of the atelier. But Tetya steps in and says, you know, hey, don't forget to take a break. Hey, you need to eat. Hey, we have to go frolic in the fields now because it's fun. And I want to have fun right now. I don't want to be working hard all the time. I've already worked hard enough today. I think it's also important to remember that Coco and Tetya have a shared love of magic and a shared appreciation of magic in a way that neither Richa nor Agut have. Agut is stressed out by magic. It is something that causes her great grief, and that's one of the reasons why she doesn't really like Coco in the beginning. She questions how Coco could become Kifri's student without having any practice or technique at all in casting magic. And it is something that is constantly burdening her because of her goals to become a skilled witch and because of her own values around perfectionism and excellence. Richa treats magic as just something to do. And to be very frank, in the beginning of the story, it is not something that she is very fond of. She doesn't want to really learn more about magic except to practice what she's comfortable practicing. But Coco and Tetya approach magic in a totally different way. And in magic, they both find great joy. It's not a chore. It's not a burden. And because of that shared love of magic and their similarly shared values around learning magic, that is what already makes Tetya a valuable character in Witch Hat Atelier. She is one of Coco's best friends, and she is the very first person her age that welcomes her into that world. If a character like that didn't exist in Witch Hat Atelier, I think it would actually, honestly, be very difficult to empathize with Coco, because there's nobody in her corner. You wouldn't want to empathize with her. The only person that she can trust is an adult. Please. That is so boring, and that is not true to how most young people grow up and how most students study. And even if on the surface she just seems to be this silly, bubbly young girl, if you really respect the material, very very frankly, if you really respect the material, if you really do respect Komamish Shirahama, you can see all of the nuances in Tetya's character that make her much more three-dimensional and make her a very interesting character. Tetya is very, very clever. She's very creative. She has a lot of love for her friends. She's incredibly kind, right? And those things are merits of their own. Hello? Anyways, I think Tetya is a great character. I really enjoy her. I really love the way that she is written and the way that she is designed. And I think, if you enjoy Witch Hat Atelier and if you haven't felt those same things yet, you don't even have to like her as much as I do, but if you are a person who has always thought of Tetya as just being the silly little girl, I would consider maybe rethinking that and even potentially thinking about why you would consider her as just that type of flat character. Does it have something to do with the fact that you think that she's feminine? Does it have to do with the fact that she's a little girl with pink hair? Duh, I don't know. She does obviously serve as a character who has more comic relief moments. At the same time, she is also an incredibly well-written little girl character. Respect that. I don't know. Consider. Not meant to be hateful, just meant to be me. And maybe I am hateful, who knows. But thank you so much for tuning in to today's episode of Typically Tuesdays here on CJSF 90.1 FM. Are you reading Witch Hat Atelier? Are you watching Witch Hat Atelier? And if you're not, let me tell you, I personally think you should read Witch Hat Atelier because I'm biased towards the artwork in it compared to the anime, which in my opinion looks a little bit flat. But you can't really, obviously though, it is very difficult to replicate pen etching in animation, so it's not, well, it would make that production take just so long, you know? So yeah, oh well. I just prefer the manga personally, but maybe you're different, and that's okay. Text me 778-782-2573 or email me typicallytuesdays@gmail.com. I would love to know your thoughts on Witch Hat Atelier, if you have read it, watched it, who your favorite character is, and if you haven't already, you should write in a question about Witch Hat, and then I can answer you through the text or through the email, 778-782-2573, or again, typicallytuesdays@gmail.com. All right, thank you for listening to today's episode of the program. A little bit ranty, but hey, I'm just trying to make us not hate young girls as much as the powers tell us to. We're going to close off today with one final track. This is by Tommy February 6th. Very, very pink song, in my opinion, and aligns with our theme of magic. This is Magic in Your Eyes. I hope you enjoy it. I've been Leslie here on Typically Tuesdays on CJSF 90.1 FM, and I will talk to you again very soon.